This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
All right, welcome back to our show. We will begin our second hour of radio broadcast with more sports for you.
SEC, by the way, 16 of the last 24 national championships.
But not the last two.
So maybe this is why that memo comes out about how awesome the SEC is. Don't forget about us.
They're slipping. By the way, we can't forget about you.
You won't let us.
You will not let us.
No.
It just means more.
It does.
I mean, it kind of does.
Yeah.
It
really does.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
To any other fan base, Oregon, Ohio State, whatever. Yeah.
You have no idea.
You have great fan bases. You don't. It's not the SEC. Well, they don't have anything else.
And they know that.
Yeah.
Like, do they have to send out a memo about that, too?
We're poisoning.
Look, we just want to remind you. Yeah. Your fans are great, but.
And by the way, that's not a good thing, in my opinion. I would not want.
Well, they're crazy.
I would not want any fans in the Pacific Northwest to be SEC fans. I would not trade. No, that's. You always say, what do we have out here? Perspective and. Like,
balance.
Balance. Other things to do.
Yeah. Normal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got a couple of other tidbits for you.
Tidbitties.
See what I did there?
Yeah, we can't say the. We've decided.
Well, I talked to Cooley about it.
Yeah.
He's out there.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I saw him right after the segment. And I said,
he's all about it?
Well, I said, we have good news and bad news.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, God. And I said, well, it was a good segment. Mm-hmm. I want you to know we just did a really good segment.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's great. Mm. And I said, well, the bad news is. We said, and he looked at me like, oh my God, why would you do that? And I'm like, tidbits.
Tid.
Oh,
T-I-E.
And then he goes, oh.
Yeah.
He goes, well, you guys have done worse.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
And I said, not much, but yes, we have.
But we'll steer.
But if that's the bar, we're good for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Then he walked off.
We're going to steer clear of that one, though.
So email Ryan Cooley if you have a problem with Big Sook's commentary.
And yours. You thought about it and still said it.
Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah.
I made a conscious choice.
You did. Sooks was like murder in the second degree. Yours was murder in the first. Premeditated, dude.
I think mine was more like manslaughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
No, I don't.
Negligent manslaughter.
Right. All right, so anyway, I've got a couple here. A couple of things. And neither matter in the least.
Let's do it anyway.
Well, no, dude, both of these things are hot topics. Hmm. People go crazy over stuff like this. And they debate it on these stupid debate shows.
Okay.
And they just don't matter.
All right.
At least to me.
Well, maybe they matter to me.
Yeah, they might. I don't think they do, though.
Let's find out. Let's go on this journey together.
Do you want to hear them?
I do.
Are you guys ready?
I'm ready for
Are you guys sitting down?
I'm ready for our tids.
Tids.
Boy.
You're trying, aren't you?
Well, that was clear. There's nothing wrong with that. That was clear.
No, I think that's fine.
And present.
Mike Leach is going to get in the hall.
Hey!
And
you have to complain about DEI now, though, because we're just lowering standards to get people in.
Yes. You know there's going to be somebody like, well, this is wrong. I'll tell you what they did in a second, but here's the second thing. Are you ready? Second tid. The NCAA tournament may be expanding.
It's expanding.
Well, they haven't figured it out yet.
But it is.
They're saying either 72 or 76 teams.
Because that's what we need. We need more meaningless teams getting into the NCAA tournament.
They want that.
Cool. cool, everybody. It was just more TV inventory.
But again, wake me when there's a story that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm sure that will be debated and people will yell and scream about it.
And you'll still watch. Exactly. You know, they'll find a way
whatever.
To fit it in the...
If you don't like it, don't watch the games. You little bitch. So Mike Leach's... So this was a big topic after Leach died.
Yes. He was just shy.
His career winning percentage is 59.8.
Yeah.
And in order to get into the College Football Hall of Fame, which is run by the National Football Foundation, for coaches, you have to be eligible, you have to win 60% of your games.
By the way, does that seem so odd to anyone else besides me? Like,
what?
Well, imagine like if
which
you were
part?
Any of it. Like, imagine like the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame saying, like, hey, just so you know, in order to be a Hall of Fame pitcher, you have to have won a certain percentage of your games. That's just a weird... I've never heard of any other Hall of Fame that has arbitrary, like, stat lines.
Yeah, normally it's just like, hey,
yeah.
you helped start with Hal Mumme, this really
yeah.
innovative offense. You only won 7 games, but we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame because we think you contributed to the game.
It's just, do you think this guy was good enough, yes or no? It wasn't based on a number.
Well, imagine if you took over, like, the worst program in the country, right? Absolute dog mess. And, you know, so it took you 5 years to dig your way out of just a rat hole, right? And then you had, like, 2 successful seasons. Less miles, right? And then you jump over to a bad SEC program. Like, you take over Vanderbilt, right? Or a school like that. And, again, it takes you 3-4 years to dig your way out, and you lose 9 games every year, and then you have like an 8-year run that's really good where you're winning, you know, 8-9 games, you win a couple national championships, maybe you bring a school from the brink of nothing, and then you have maybe 3 years at a high profile program, everything goes well, and then you decide to hang them up. You're not a Hall of Fame coach. It's such a weird arbitrary thing.
So they changed the career winning percentage minimum to 59.5.
We're calling this the pirate rule. Clearly, the only reason they did this is that people can just quiet and let Mike
shut
Leach
up about Mike Leach. Yeah. He's in now.
Yeah,
or he's eligible now.
Yeah, and he will be a Hall of Famer,
which is stupid, but because somebody said on the X, they said the only person that would not like this is Mike Leach.
I was going to ask you guys that. I feel like it could go one of 3 ways. He's like, oh, that's nice they thought of me. That's, I don't care at all. Or that's really stupid.
Well, he probably didn't care. But I think the latter, some people were saying he's the type of guy that would hate that they changed this.
Yeah. Just for him.
Just for him. He would say, I should have won one extra game, one more game. What he would do is he would go on like a 15-minute diatribe about one game that he blew.
Yeah.
And he would tell a great story about how he blew it.
That or about a time in history that we changed a voting requirement and it affected how everything else unfolded.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, in 1936, he would say
something. Texas is a sovereign state, and a sovereign state when they vote.
Well, Mike Leach was one of the most polarizing figures, but to say that any way that that guy isn't a Hall of Fame coach is just silly.
That's 50% stupid.
They rectified it, and he's a Hall of Famer, and it is funny that he may be the one guy that would be against it, and I could totally see that. Although I would think, no matter who you are and what kind of curmudgeon, and he certainly was a curmudgeon, wouldn't everyone want to be recognized by your peers as a Hall of Famer?
He may be one of the guys, one of the few that wouldn't care. I really do see him that way.
I understand. I think there's a difference between, like, not caring and still, I don't know, like, because I guess that is caring. Like, I understand it wouldn't be important to him. I just don't know anyone who could be honored with that and then just not give to, you know, like not have it be like, a pat on the back feels good to everybody, right?
Unless you're Rick Carlisle.
That's true.
Or Mike Leach, maybe.
Because you see people that, like, don't show up at the Oscars or don't show up at the Grammys because they're like, you know, it's about art or whatever. Like Prince would be one of these dudes. But I'll bet you at Prince's house, I bet you he had Grammy trophies up. Because at the end of the day, you're like, hey, this doesn't matter, but that's still pretty cool. I got, like, 9 Grammys.
Well, his speech would... Do they give speeches for College Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
His speech would have been great.
His speech would have been great.
We miss that guy.
Yeah. Because that at that point, he probably would have taken a blowtorch to the whole thing, which is always fun. To take something that's very self-important and people that try to make it bigger than it is, and then to have someone be like, thanks for the honor, I really don't care.
Yeah, he'd get up there and say the whole thing's pointless.
Yeah, that's
he would have an agenda.
Yeah, that's fun.
For sure.
Yeah. He was the most... we've been doing this a long time. He's the most unique guy that we've ever covered.
Very interesting fella.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's parts about him that I really disliked. He was not infallible by any stretch of the imagination, but he was such an interesting character that I always wanted more.
All right, coming up next, we crown the Thunder on The Fan. I feel like you're getting a little too blue these days. We need to clean it up.
That's not even us working blue.
I know.
That doesn't even work here anymore.
Yeah, that was Cam.
I don't think I could eat beaver. Oh.
Never mind.
I was going to try to pair those together, but couldn't find the other one.
Well, guys, Oklahoma City is headed to the finals.
Yeah.
The Thunder.
Boy, I don't know if I've ever quite seen a 3-2-1 Cancun quite like the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Boy, that was ugly.
I mean,
yeah,
that was something else, man.
Really was. They didn't show up.
No.
They had 7 points in the first, 10 minutes.
I mean, I understand. I mean, Oklahoma City's better than you are. You're not coming back in that series, but you would like to think that you would have some element of balls and or pride.
Yeah.
To roll over and die like that,
But don't you think that is a reflection of Ant Edwards?
I do think there's an element of that.
I do. I think it's oftentimes a reflection of the star of the team when something like that happens.
Well, he did come out and try to be more aggressive, but he was terrible, and he was forcing stuff and turning the ball over.
You know how NBA locker rooms work, dude.
Yeah.
It may be that they kind of fractured in that series because it seemed to me that Edwards was alluding to the fact that, dude, I can't, the way they're playing me, the other guys have to step up, but he can't say that.
Yeah.
And the other guys didn't step up. And so, you know, it's possible that they kind of were like, screw you, dude.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, screw you. I need help. They need to give him way more help. It will be when Minnesota fills in that roster around him, not that it's bad right now, but Oklahoma City is just really freaking good. But it'll be amazing how much better Ant Edwards looks when there are other guys that teams have to key on the floor.
Well, and the problem is that you went out and you made that big swinge for Rudy Gobert. And, dude, there were times in this playoff run where they sat him. Like, you can't have...
Well, they overpaid for him at the time. Everybody knew that.
Yeah.
But you also saw a series where, against the Warriors,
where he
mattered because the Warriors didn't have a big.
It's just weird because Gobert is one of their big three, and... You know, Randall had disappeared for large stretches. Gobert is, he's not Draymond, because even when Draymond's not scoring, he can do something besides defense, and he never got played off the floor.
You have to take Gobert off the floor in circumstances.
And that's, and I don't know. And then Mike Conley's like 1,000 years old. And so I don't know.
That's it. They don't have any.
No.
So Oklahoma City knew that.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, well, bring it, Edwards. We're going to throw the whole world at you, and you're not in the, you know, so so it's possible that they they just fractured
26-9 in the first quarter. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, they quit.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what they do. But Oklahoma City is now 80-18 mm-hmm. on the season.
Yeah.
They have played 98 games and they've won 80 of them.
Well, and they've lost one time all year to the Eastern Conference. And that was a game against Cleveland.
God, and
they're getting ready to play the Eastern Conference, in case you were wondering.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. Well, and I heard Dirt and Sprague were talking about this, and I'm certainly not ready to go down this road. I thought it was a bit of recency bias, but I forget which one was saying it this morning when I was walking the old dog. They were saying that this was the best team they've ever seen, and I was like,
Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City. I was like, I'm not.
You know? Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not doing that. In fact, I would take those Golden State teams. I would take the Lakers, Shaq and Kobe teams.
Can we talk about Showtime Lakers? Of course, they weren't born yet.
But. Yeah, I know.
So, right? Were they born in the 80s? No, probably not. No, because they're in their 30s.
Yeah, they're in their 30s.
Yeah, they don't have the appreciation.
So, I mean, I'm not ready to go that far, but this is a team with the highest point differential in NBA history.
Yep.
It won 68 games. So far in the playoffs, I mean, although Denver pushed them.
Well, Denver's a pretty good team.
Denver's a good team, but Denver pushed them. So, you know, Jordan never even once got to a game seven. And no offense to the Denver Nuggets, you have one generational player and you fired your coach and you played like six guys. So the fact that they took him to a game seven, I'm not going anywhere near. And by the way, Oklahoma City hasn't won jack ass.
I would also like to point out that Minnesota being in the West Finals,
yeah,
that was a mismatch.
Yeah. They were a six seed.
Yes.
So I'm not ready to...
Denver was there.
I'm not ready to crown that. And also, by the way, be careful when you start doing this and you start... And we start talking about the dynasty that is going to be Oklahoma City and the youngest team to ever do this. And there's a lot of metrics you can point to that say this is a rare group, right? This is an outlier. And yes, you look ahead with all the resources they have and they're not in the luxury tax. It's the first time that a team has won a title and they're not going to be in the luxury tax. Like, there's a ton of stuff out there. But they haven't won anything. I remember when, and this is a weird, I don't know why this popped into my head, but I remember when USC was getting ready to play Texas in the Rose Bowl all those years ago. And I S you not, if you remember, ESPN was running programming all week saying that this USC team, that was the Bush, Leinart, Lendell White, all those cats, that was the greatest college football team of all time. They were crowning them the greatest college football team of all time. And they did the same thing with the Miami Hurricanes, right? That Miami team that was going to go back to back. They were like, this is the greatest college football team of all time. And what happened in both of those games? You got Vince Younged and you got Craig Krenzeld. You lost Shaq and Kobe, right? That Laker team, oh my God, is this the dynasty that would be better than Michael and the Bulls? And what happened? And they remember that Karl Malone, and they were going to get Carl a ring and Gary Payton, and they ran into the Detroit Pistons. So look, Oklahoma City is a juggernaut. And I said going into this whole thing, I think Oklahoma City is going to win. I don't buy the U thing. This is the best team. It's been the best team all year. But the fact that we're just writing off the Indiana Pacers, who I guess haven't gotten there yet, but we're giving Indiana no shot. Ah, dude, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that either.
No.
We have a Pacers segment coming up later. They are being compared to, and so this is part of the thing about Oklahoma City. Statistically, they're already up there with some great teams, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that can be a little misleading. We all know that. Yeah. But at the same time, they are in the finals. And they're 80-18. Like, they're, and they have the MVP. I mean, there's nothing not to like about Oklahoma City.
Yes.
But you're right. I mean, we all need to see them win a title before we go that far.
Yeah.
But the Pacers are already being compared to one of the all-time great teams, and they do stack up statistically.
Yeah.
And I will tell you who that is later in our
show.
What a tease. How about that?
I love
it. Am I a radio guy or what?
Oh, so good.
No, they really are. Like, the Pacers, okay, I think because they're Indiana and because they don't have a lot of star power, mm-hmm. although we are seeing an emerging superstar in Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
We just flat out are.
Yeah.
He's playing. I mean, the way they play, I can see why we're not taking them seriously yet.
Mm-hmm.
But watch out.
Yeah.
That is a live dog for the finals. Now, they got to beat the Knicks.
Yep.
I think they will.
They will.
They will. They're playing great. But there are some statistics, and I'll give these to you later, but there are some stats that I can compare them to one of the all-time great teams. Hmm. Dude, this finals, I think a lot of people just on paper looking at this going, Oklahoma City in a landslide. Be careful.
I think it's going to be real fun.
It's a great matchup.
And I hope people watch. I hope we don't just get, well, it's Oklahoma City and it's Indiana and middle of the country and whatever, Cowtown. And
now, if Oklahoma City bashes their heads in four or five,
then it's one of,
I'll come on here and be like, well, maybe it is one of the great teams. But I think Pacers are being overlooked right now.
Yeah. I agree.
So we'll get to that later.
I just be careful crowning people before they've won anything, because it happens a bunch. And more, I'm not going to say, like, I'm not saying this happens all the time, because Golden State was like unbeatable with Kevin Durant. Well, it turned out they were unbeatable with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they were awesome.
They were.
Well, I mean, we always forget about the Spurs, but
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, they were really good too.
Nobody could beat the Spurs.
No, they were really stupid.
Well, they win six. They won five.
They won five with Timmy Duncan.
But five.
I don't think they ever went back to back. They were just the level of consistency.
Losers.
Losers. I still, the.
You're a loser.
The Warriors one is the one that is Oklahoma City certainly could turn into a dynasty. The one that I think is the ultimate what could have been is Golden State.
If Durant stayed.
If Draymond just doesn't
yeah.
go be Draymond. They beat the Cavaliers, and then if Kevin Durant would have come anyways, and Durant had just stayed.
But if they had won that one that Draymond didn't play, not sure they would have gone for Durant, because they would have had the record and the ring.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't go.
But either way, there's a different script where their dynasty is even bigger than it was.
Had Durant just stayed, even just that.
Right, because they won back-to-back, and then he bounced.
Yeah. He just stayed.
Who else was on that team?
With Durant?
Sean Livingston and David West was part of that team. And then you had the big Aussie.
Bogut was on those teams.
Bogut
was on the first team. I don't know that he was on it after that.
I was just looking at all the guys that kind of came through there that played on those teams.
But they were constantly signing guys to like minimum deals and stuff because they were paying Durant and Curry and Clay and Draymond. So
was that 22?
No, the Durant ones would have been.
What is the year after they won? 70,
would have been 17, 18, and 18, 19, I think.
16, 17, 17, 18.
There you go.
Okay. Jordan Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Of your Ducks.
Yeah. Jordan Poole helped out one of those teams before he.
They were just. Just the idea of keeping that threesome, foursome together, because it would have been Clay, Steph, Draymond and Durant.
Oh, Iguodala.
He won a finals MVP.
And they called that group the Hamptons Five because the four Warriors, Iguodala, Steph, Draymond, and Clay, went out to meet Kevin Durant in the Hamptons to have their big meeting.
That's right. And don't forget about Nick Young getting a ring with that team.
That's right. Swaggy P.
Swaggy P was on that team.
Freaking A. We've had some really good teams. And I will say this. If Oklahoma City wins this, it does appear, because we've had seven different champions in 7 years. First time it's ever happened. This is the one that certainly looks like it could be set up to just go on a run. But we said that about Boston, and look what happened. You know, Chet broke his pelvis. You know, SGA can blow an Achilles. The luxury, you never know. Don't count LeBron. Not one, not two, not three. They did win two, didn't win eight. That didn't happen. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks, for God's sake. So I'll just wait.
Yeah, let's just wait.
Let's wait.
All right, in the news is coming up next. The great Barry Manilow is doing something pretty cool for his show when he comes to town. Mm. We'll tell you what that is next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, nice to have you along. It's a Thursday program. It is May. It's May, I know that.
29th.
May 29, 2025. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Nice to have you along. Wait, I already said that. Mm-hmm. But I mean it. Mm. I mean it deep down in my bones. It's brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Biscuit Day.
Ooh, who doesn't love good biscuit? I mean, they're just delightful. A little butter and honey, you can do some jam.
We had buttermilk biscuit day like 2 weeks ago. We talked about this on the show.
Well, is there any other kind?
I don't know why. I mean, these days are interesting, but there shouldn't be six for each item in the world.
Listen to him.
He's not happy about it.
Look, let's just celebrate the biscuit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't have a lot of biscuits, but when I do, I enjoy one.
It is also End of the Middle Ages Day.
Oh. Do we have like a definitive end of the Middle Ages?
1500s?
I don't know.
Right?
It's just one of those terms we all know roughly the Middle Ages, but I didn't know we were like, we ended the Middle Ages at a very specific day.
There's no universally agreed upon date. However, some historians use the fall of Constantinople in 1453 as the marker.
Ah. Right around 1500, as you said. You were close.
Then you get into the modern times of the 1600s. Am I right?
Yeah, because that's what I think of when I think of modern times. It's 1614. Ah, yes.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, there ain't much modern about this world of ours.
No, but it also makes you wonder when you think about, you know, 1600, 1700, to where we're at now and how barbaric.
Kick us
ahead 200 years and what we're going to think about today.
Yeah.
Imagine looking back at our society right now and being like, dude, what a bunch of rubes. What a bunch of absolute morons.
I often think that.
Yeah.
That was for the good of the game. Well, if you're a Portland music teacher, stand up and scream.
Anybody?
Well, you're not.
No.
And Buck's not.
No.
So no one here is standing up to you. But if you are a Portland music teacher and you weren't driving in your car, I hope you stood up and screamed.
Shout out.
Yeah, because Barry Manilow would love to see you at his show.
Yeah.
Wednesday, July 16th at the Moda Center.
That's kind of cool. Barry giving a little love to the...
Barry.
Yeah, the local... is this also like Barry needs some filler at his show too? It's like, I need some breaks.
Well,
not as youthful as I used to be.
It's not... I don't know. I think this is a pretty cool thing.
I do too.
I don't know how many acts do this. But Barry, he will honor regional music teachers on his tour. So he will have $10,000 total in gifts that the Manilow Music Project will bequeath, which is one of my favorite words.
It is a good word.
Bequeath. $5,000 of that will go directly to the person that fans vote as Portland's favorite music teacher. The other $5,000 will go to buy musical instruments for their school in the form of Manilow bucks.
Very cool.
Did you know he had Manilow bucks?
I did not. So is when you do this, so
he gets kickbacks?
I don't know. Like, do you buy the instruments directly for him, or do you just have to provide the receipts? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anytime you get into like Manilow bucks, now we're talking about like railroad bond. Like, it makes me a little
sounds like a crypto scam.
Yeah, it does sound scammy, but it's probably some sort of legal tax sort of.
But yeah.
You know.
Some vouchers.
But he's doing this I think it's like his last 17 shows. He's doing this in every city, which is really cool.
Yeah, they say that the Manilow Music Project, which was established in 2008, has already given more than $10 million worth of instruments and music scholarships.
Yeah.
Which is great. I didn't know Barry was so badass like that.
I didn't either, but that's awesome because, one, the arts are under attack. And
that's right.
If anyone's ever had a kid... in music's expensive. Instruments are not cheap, and I think that's really cool. And some of those teachers, so shout out to the Jason Owens of the world.
So let me read the teachers. I'm gonna give them all some love here. Now, anyone can vote, and you have to go to the Manilow Music Project website, and you can vote up through June 10th. And the contest, you can live anywhere and vote. But if you've got strong feelings about any of these people, you need to go vote for them. You've got Jason Owens from Franklin High School.
Shout out, Jay.
You've got Frank Petrick from Lincoln High School. You've got Jason Margolis from Roosevelt. Chris McCurdy from Grant. Chris Adams Brown from Leotis V. McDaniel High School.
I don't know.
What's that?
I have no idea.
We have Gary Ryler from Grover Cleveland High School. We have Nick Caldwell from Ida B. Wells. We have Dave Hester from Jefferson, Kasia Lee from Park Rose, and Christina Stingle from Lake Ridge.
Can I point something out here?
One of those will be honored at Barry's show. What?
I don't like this.
All men, except for Christina?
A lot of dudes. Bit of a sausage fest out
there. Is Kasia Lee male or female?
Female.
That's female. Okay, so we got two women.
Also, I figured out Leotis V. McDaniel High School was renamed after we got rid of James Madison because he was canceled.
Boy, I didn't know it was Leotis V. McDaniel.
Yeah. Boy, when you said that, I was like, what?
Because I thought that there may be a chance it was not always Leotis V. McDaniel, and that was the case.
Ida B. Wells is Wilson, right? The old Wilson?
I think that's
Wilson
right.
Because Wilson got canceled?
I think that's right.
Yeah. I'm assuming that Leotis V. McDaniel is some sort of important legal case that I'm not familiar with.
I will.
Someone
want to
do?
I read that as one person.
No, I guarantee. I'm assuming that is going to be.
You think it's a case?
That's going to be a case. I guess Leotis sued McDaniel. You know, this is going to be some sort of
civil... teacher Leotis V. McDaniel became the principal of the school in 1983 and named after a former principal.
They named it after Dr. V.
Oh, okay. Well, I assumed that was a case. That makes me feel a little better because that is the clunkiest name for a high school that I've ever...
why don't they just call it McDaniel High School?
They do. They just refer it to
Leotis V. McDaniel High School is silly.
Yeah, well, they also say Grover Cleveland High School, so clearly they don't know what our high schools...
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, here we just call it Cleveland.
A little weird.
Anyway, good luck to all of you.
Yeah.
May the force be with you.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, just...
So go vote.
Stuff the ballot box. Like, if you're, I don't know, if you're Chris McGurdy, get every, you know, start a Facebook campaign or whatever.
Well, I do think... When things like this happen, particularly in when you get real into community like this, like high school stuff, it's really just going to be the winner is they're probably all great.
Yeah,
it's the winner is just going to be whichever high school is most activated to support their person. Well, you know what I'm saying?
It says on the link, I can vote. I'm going to vote right now.
Who are you voting for? I'm going to vote for all of them.
You can't.
I love music teachers.
You can't do that.
I had a great music teacher when I was a kid.
I did not. I've told the story. I wanted to play the drums, and he wouldn't let me. He told me...
It wasn't Chris McCurdy, was it?
No, it was Mr. Neshipa.
Not empowering young?
I failed the
rhythm. Well, he knew. You wouldn't have been any good
anyway. I failed the rhythm test.
He was like, maybe this saxophone would be better.
Oh, so he did give you a chance. You just couldn't cut it.
Well, like when you're like in the fifth grade and when you went to music class and you got to pick the instrument, you could just pick whatever you want. In order to play the drums, though, you had to keep, to get into the drum program, you had to keep a rhythm with your feet and with your hands.
Look at DEI Souk wanting a break from the teacher.
I did. I wanted a break. And they were like, no. And I was like, seriously, I can't play the drums?
No, man,
like,
standards are standards.
You like pick a different instrument. So I was like, well, is there a guitar? And they're like, no. So it was like, I got to
there is, but not for you.
So would you get the flute?
They didn't even, no, I didn't do it. I was so pissed.
Oh,
it was the only
bummer.
Cool instrument.
He turned you away from music.
I wanted to play the drums or I wanted to play the guitar. The guitar was not available. They didn't have that in our school band. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to play the freaking clarinet.
What was his name?
Mr. Neshiba.
How do you, what? Neshiba?
His name was Mr. Neshiba. And he was still there when my daughter went to school.
Wow.
He was her music teacher. And let me tell you something. I had a bone to pick with that guy. Yeah, I didn't do music.
Yeah, this says why.
Did you come back around like 20 years later and tell him what's up?
No, but like when my daughter was the
I see him here.
Yeah, and I gave him a lot of stink eye, and I told my daughter that
he
was putz.
He got a great. So he was a teacher for 37 years.
Yeah, he retired when my daughter was there. We went to the final band concert was his like swan song.
Yeah, and they gave him quite a send off. Like he was beloved.
He was a beloved guy. Like in all honesty, like I guess.
So
like,
this all tracks.
Everyone loved him.
Yeah.
So.
So he was great at what he did, and he understood that you had no musical talent. He said, maybe you should play football.
What
a leader.
Yeah.
He put Souk on the right path.
He did. Maybe I will never forget that. Being told that I couldn't play the drums, and I was like, well, where's the guitar? You don't have that choice. And I turned right around. I still remember the music room had like the levels, you know, like the.
Oh, yeah, the risers.
Yeah, the risers. Dude, I was like, screw this. I turned around and walked right out and was like, I'm going to go find something else to do. Playing the trombone. And you know, like being the bid kid, you know what they would have stuck me with? That would have been on the GD tuba. I'm not playing the tuba. It ain't happening.
I think it better suits you. I mean, look at you.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up. Portland man makes it to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
He made it.
I saw this.
That'll be next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay. Yeah, would we
And I don't like that they don't have the photos. I was going to go based on appearance, I was going to go on who
of
looked.
Of course you were.
I was going to go on who looked the most musical, and I don't like it because they just put up the school logo. So I've officially decided to make, I got 12 days left to vote, and I am going with Jason Margolis because I think the Roosevelt High School logo is the coolest.
I thought you were just going to say because his name's Jason.
No.
If he wins by one vote, that has
nothing to do with it. But
he was probably deserving.
I would like to say that I'm officially throwing my weight behind Jason Margolis of Roosevelt High School because let's be honest, a lot of these other logos are kind of dumb and I don't like them. Jefferson has a pretty cool one. I considered Dave Hester from Jefferson High School because I thought that was a pretty cool logo too. But the Roosevelt, look at the Roosevelt logo. That's a slick 1906 and it's got the bridge on there and I liked it. So, Jay, you got my vote.
This is in the news, May 29, 2025. Hello, noted newsman here. Thank you. I have a follow up for you guys. And it is, you know, we were talking about Florida Man.
Yeah.
But Oregon Man is like a hippie version of Florida Man.
Yeah.
Very similar. Without the bath salts.
Sure.
Oregon Man, this is the guy who quit his job and he sailed with his cat to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Captain Oliver.
I thought it was Phoenix.
No, Phoenix is the cat.
Yeah, Phoenix.
The guy's name is Captain Oliver. Yeah,
Oliver Widger is his name. They arrived in Waikiki on Saturday.
Yeah.
It took them a week.
And they made it.
At sea.
Pretty kick-ass.
That is pretty. I think that kind of is. Is that that hard?
I was talking to a yachtsman.
Yeah, what'd they say?
We were talking about this, and because he's actually sailed a bunch. Like, he sailed down into, like, South America and stuff. And he said, if you don't know what you're doing, sailing there is the, he didn't say anyone could do it, but he said it's quite easy to sail from our coast to Hawaii. Coming back, if you don't know what you're doing, he said, do not attempt it. Because the winds.
Is that just the currents?
The currents and the winds. Like, you have to, from here, you can kind of just, as long as you know how to set a course.
It'll blow you there?
Yeah, it's not that difficult. But coming back, you have to zigzag. Because you know, and so he said coming back is, you really have to know what you're doing. So he was interested. He thought this was a cool story, but he goes, I hope that guy is smart enough to know that getting back is a lot harder.
Well, this is a guy who said he learned to sail by watching YouTube.
Yeah. So that's what he said. He said not everyone can do it, but he did say that if you've got a good boat and you can, and there's a lot of modern navigation equipment, it's not that challenging getting there.
Yeah, but I think it, I mean, I don't know this, but it would feel like it's one of those things where when things are right,
yeah,
you're good.
Something goes wrong.
But one thing goes wrong, it could be disastrous.
Yeah.
Like one little thing.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he got lucky or not.
I'm sure there's a little bit of luck in there, but I'm sure, you know, you look and you pick good weather days and, you know.
Well, what do you do when you're, what do you do when you're out there? Like, you can't, like, how long, it took him over a week.
Yeah.
So
nothing. You're just sailing.
I know, but you can't pick good weather days. He's just sailing the whole time.
No, but I think you look at the, he was
for the week.
Yeah, I was talking to this guy and he was going on about, like, you can plan this, and he said it's a very doable thing for, I believe his word was competent.
Okay, well, he learned from YouTube.
Yes, he said if you're a competent person, you can do this.
He says now that he may head to French Polynesia. Mm. With Phoenix, the cat.
Well, again, you're still going in the same direction. Just, you know.
Just keep going in that direction. Before you know it, you sailed around the world.
How do we think the cat likes it?
You gotta come back the other way, and then when you do run into bad weather.
What did you say?
How do we think the cat likes it?
Probably hates it. Surrounded by water like that?
Nothing to do?
You got a little litter box. I don't know. Maybe you got a little laser toy.
Looks like a pretty cool looking cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got a big Instagram following. I think he's raising some funds and stuff.
Yeah, he's gotten some sponsors.
Yeah, man. Well, good for him, dude. That, you know, you're living a life that doesn't enthrall you. You got a bad health diagnosis, and you put it in the wind.
What happened with him. He quit his job. He had some health issues, and he cashed in his 401k.
Yeah.
And he's like, screw it, I'm sailing to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, a little short-sighted, but okay.
Yeah. Well, because he doesn't know if this.
Yeah.
I look. It's one of those, I hope this doesn't come back and bite him, but you know, I get what he's doing. That's a life.
You should join him.
If I didn't have like kids and a job and all that, I'll say this. I've never understood the person that does they work a crappy job that they hate. They're not married, right? They don't have kids, And just every day, they just sit there in a boring ass cubicle. And it's like, they just, if you're going to do that, dude, that's the person that I'm like, why don't more people do this? If you're going to sit somewhere and be miserable and be depressed, go do it somewhere where you don't have to wear a shirt and there's sun. Like, just get out of there, put it in the wind and go somewhere. Or something like this.
But let's find more sun.
That, you know, you have friends and family and loved ones and you built a nice little life.
Bills.
But I knew a guy that used to work out at the Helvetia Tavern. And he did this. Him and his lady, they sold everything they owned. And he applied. He found a thing online where he found a job because he was like a kitchen manager, or maybe he was the head cook at Helvetia Tavern. And he found online someone that needed a restaurant worker, a chef or a cook or whatever, somewhere in the tropics. I forget where it was, maybe in the Saints somewhere. And he had never been, knew nothing about it, but him and his lady just were not happy. And they sold everything they owned and they saved up for like 6 months, and sight unseen, they accepted the job and flew with a bag of clothes each and went down there. And I was like, dude, that's freaking awesome.
There's like 1% of my being that wants to do exactly that someday. Yeah, just pick up and go.
I think everybody has that kind of in the back of their head.
Yeah. Especially when you go on vacation and you find a quiet little place that's off of the main areas.
It's very
like,
appealing.
You're like, could I just be here forever? Well, I think I could.
As Americans, we stockpile all this crap.
Yep.
You know, and then all of a sudden, you look around and you go, what does any of this mean? I'm just going to sell it.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah. It's the Jack Reacher or the Jack Kerouac there's a million of those tales out there. And it just, everyone thinks about it. But to the dude that actually, or the gal that puts the cojones or the ovaries on the line and does it, I just mad respect. Even if it doesn't work out, I have you have my utmost respect.
Well, you only get one of these lives.
You only get one.
Can we get a slang equivalent of cojones for ovaries?
I was thinking that myself. I feel like, why don't we do that?
Because I was going to say, you got to have the balls to do it, but then I was like, ladies can do it too, right, and that was the closest thing I could come with balls is ovaries.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we need to think about that. This would be our contribution to society.
Well, I mean, you could just do, because we lay our balls on the line. Couldn't they just lay their up tops?
I think
the B's and T's.
Yeah. Exactly. Whoever lays their B's and T's on the line and puts it in the wind, I can respect that. I like that. B's and T's.
It's not quite cojones, but
I don't know. I think the ovaries. I feel like the ovaries are more.
Yeah, a little more equivalent.
Equivalent to.
Well, because it's the reproductive.
Because what are we going to say when it's just the women putting them out there? You know,
yeah, I guess that's true.
You got something like the cojones we need.
We'll come up with it.
Yeah, someone. Yeah, brainstorm that, guys. Let's
workshop that.
Work it around. Give us some ideas.
Chesticle. Somebody said chesticle. all right. Stop it.
What?
Well, this is too much fun.
Oh,
and we're way over.
We can't have that. We've got to get serious.
That's your In the News for May 29, 2025, brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Coming up next, ignore the Pacers at your own peril. Who they are compared to of the greats. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.